be attached to a computer or else I won't deal with it. And Elba still knows that I'm not dealing with tools very well. When Ralph had asked me to preach another time after the 5th of November when I preached last time, I already had a theme in mind. And it came from something that was in our lives. Elba and I and Frank went through it at a tough time in our lives. And I'll get into that a little later. But today's theme, and Ozzy, if we could put the first slide up there. Everything I'm going to preach about is going to be up there. So if you fall asleep, you could just raise your hand and say, you know, reverse the slide. But then we'll be here all day, so we want to do that. Okay? today's message is entitled Redemption, God's Extreme Makeover. And it's a theme that just kept gnawing at me for a while, the whole thing of redemption. And I'm going to, again, get into it a little bit more as we examine this. But first, let's pray that God would just open up our ears and hearts. Father, we thank you that without you, we have nothing. We are nothing. And because of your redemptive power, you have put us in a position that we can live and live life truly and holy. Not only holy as a people, but whole in that sense. So we thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask now that you would open up the ears and the hearts of your people. And we also ask that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher and speaker here. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. God's extreme makeover. Now, if you're sitting there, you might say, has this happened to me? Well, you're going to do some gut checking as we go through this, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But let's move to a definition. This is straight out of Merriam-Webster. Redemption can be linked into these type of definitions. One, to free from captivity by payment of a ransom. To buy back or to repurchase. To get or win back, to free from what distresses or harm, and a couple of synonyms that come to mind are to repair or to restore. So the redemptive spirit and the redemptive nature of God is there to do these things in our lives. And it is, in many ways, the central theme of the Bible, the central theme of God's work, beginning with the Israel nation, the nation of Israel, and moving ahead into our lives. And that redemptive theme permeates his word and permeates his character, the whole idea of redeeming his people, bringing them back, freeing them from their captivity, freeing them, buying them back, purchasing them back, continually looking for us to be linked with him. And him doing the work, him doing the actual legwork, which is amazing to me. Let's look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians. Now, Ozzy told me that the PowerPoint got changed a little bit, so I'll be looking up there every once in a while. But I'll be reading this scripture from 2 Corinthians. It's actually 15 through 21. Ozzy, you're on it. We fixed that. That was a typo. Starting in 15, and he, meaning Christ, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once regarding Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. And the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making in his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. Powerful words from Paul, someone who was a Christ killer, a Christ persecutor, someone who realized that at a time in his life when he was knocked down and blinded, that he now had to regard Christ not as a mere man, but someone who has reconciled us to the God in heaven. We sang those songs today, Holy, Holy, Holy. The redemptive power of Christ comes through God the Father. And it's amazing that, as Carmen even said earlier, that we could ever take that lightly. That is just the most awesome thing in the world, that we can have any kind of a link with the creator of the universe, God of all. We sang those songs today. The one who transcends everything. We can't take it lightly. We must never take that lightly. Extreme Makeover. We've seen the show, right? Well, we're going to see a little clip. And I took this hour clip and cut it down to 6 minutes. So you have about 6 minutes and about 30 seconds to like check out if you want to go to sleep or whatever. But there will be a video showed now. I'm giving Ozzy the... And during this video, as an illustration, I want you to listen to the words of the narrator, of the people who are involved in this makeover. It's a makeover of a house. And we're going to weave that later on into redemption and what that all means. So without further ado, I'm even going to sit down because it is 6 minutes. I don't want to stand here that long. We can hit the lights.
Instantly in love, got married 14 years ago. Now they have 6 kids. There's Bianca, Marissa, and little Patty. And then, of course, on the boys' side, there's Gino, Danny, and JoJo. Now, Gino, when he was younger, really kind of ran with the wrong crowd and got into some serious trouble.
I had gotten arrested a couple of years ago, 9 years ago. The things that I was into, you know, of course, went over into my marriage and into my fatherhood.
It's been hard to overcome everything, and it's almost like we're expected to fail. It's been so many years, and we're still trying to prove that we're not like that.
Gino, 10 years ago, really turned his life around with the support of his wife and his kids. And now, well, he teaches at-risk kids to stay away from the temptations of gangs, of drugs, and life on the streets.
Some of these kids don't have, you know, dads, or dads aren't there for them. You know, I didn't have a league. I didn't have that positive role model. And it's just awesome to be able to have that impact on these kids' lives.
Gino's a union carpenter, and Melinda is a stay-at-home mom. And together, they work really, really hard to try and create opportunities for the kids that they didn't have when they were young. That's why the Neola kids play violin all over town with the Merritt School of Music.
Music is a symbol of great things to come, you know, for our family, for our children. I see myself in a tuxedo one day sitting in an orchestra hall and watching them play in a symphony.
For the past 8 years, all of these guys have been living in this tiny apartment above Grandma's, scrimping and saving, trying to figure out a way that they could buy their own home.
Being in that small attic, it's hard to see so many people crammed in there. And my grandmother's just, you know, concerned for us, concerned for, you know, our safety, us being there.
And it's just hard to live through all the dust, and it's really hard to be here when you have asthma attack.
And I want my children to serve, to have a home that is safe, that's clean, that's healthy, that's cockroach-free. Those little guys, they deserve it.
So finally, they found kind of the perfect house. It wasn't a lot, it was a fixer-upper, but it was all they could afford.
We believed it to be a blessing because it allowed us to stay in the city of Chicago. It allowed us to stay in the community in which we serve.
We knew that there was gonna have to be work done, so, you know, it was just an opportunity, great opportunity to get into a house, period.
These guys basically got taken advantage of. I mean, the house they bought was beyond repair. It was really a lemon. That was a total teardown. But Gino, he didn't have the money to do that.
All the plastic was cracking, and the wall just kind of moves. It just needs a lot of work.
We're excited to move into our new home, and the condition it's in, we really can't do that.
It's the American dream, right? To have a home, to have a nice home. You know, they deserve more, but and I almost feel like sometimes I fail them and I can't give it to them. But
now these guys are absolutely stuck. They've got a house that's unlivable. This is an awesome family, man. They just want a house that they could all live together in. And we can give them that. So what do you say, people? Can we do this?
Yes.
Well, bring it in there, people. Let's make it happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Twice the size of your old house.
Oh my God.
We went up three stories. We went back 28 feet.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Thank you so much.
You got it, man. Tell you what, all these people in blue t-shirts, everyone, your friends and neighbors have been here all week making it happen. You got to say hi to Jeff and Charlie and the guys from NorCon. They did a fantastic job.
Compassion in their heart, that they deserved it. It was so happy for me. I was so happy.
Well, I guess you know where I'm going with this. You know, when I saw that, I've seen this a bunch of times, so I got the advantage of digesting it. I kept asking myself the question, you know, when God did that to your house, spiritually speaking, were you as excited as that woman and that man and those kids were when God did, and when that happened in the Extreme Makeover video? You know, and that's exactly what the analogy that and the illustration from that video is I wanted to bring to you, that just like this team came in and rehabbed that house. That's what God has done to our house. If we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we have been rehabbed that way. Now, I could probably finish the sermon right here and say, that's it, it's over. But I got more. So, I was told by Ralph that he could not move that screen in front of me. I told you to move it in front of me because, you know, I'm tomato-proof back there, but I'm not tomato-proof. But if moving on to the next slide, we have many attempts to fix this condition on our own, and we know that God is the only one. And as in the video, we try to fix ourselves in our own power. If you noticed in the beginning of that video, they were trying to fix that house themselves. They were going to do it on their own. And that just was not going to happen. They just did not have the resources for that to happen. Our attempts are futile and very temporary. Sure, you can fix it for a while. Sure, you can do a little thing here and a little thing there. As you saw again in the video, they were trying. They actually had some drywall up. This guy's a union carpenter. They were trying, but it was futile. And it was temporary. It was not happening. Only God can permanently settle our condition. This statement must be made to turn the corner. I can't stand this condition anymore. In order for the redemptive power of Christ to move in anybody's life, they don't have to say those words, but they have to feel them in their heart. They have to say, I cannot stand this condition anymore. And everybody here who has had a true salvation conversion, everybody here who has been saved, said those words. I can't stand it anymore. I can't live in this house anymore. I need an extreme makeover. And I need someone to come in and fix me. And fix me so that it's permanent and it's something that I can work with and live in and enjoy forever. What then is our condition? Well, if you're in a condition, obviously, and you can't stand that condition anymore, the whole idea is that you need to get out of this condition. So what is our condition? Number one, we're physically dead. We have physical death. I know you're sitting there right now and you're saying, oh, I'm not dead. I'm going to be watching the Bears in a couple hours, et cetera, et cetera. But we are dead physically. You know, you're born to die. You know, you're in a place right now that death is right around the corner, physical death. James said in James 2:26 says, as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We always look at that scripture for the faith without deeds, but it's interesting what he says beforehand. The body without the spirit is dead. So if we look at people walking around without the spirit of Christ in our midst, they're dead. We know they're physically dead, but they're also spiritually dead, which is the second condition that we're all in. And again, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. Most of us have heard these words over and over again, but we need to revisit this on a regular basis to keep us focused on the power that has saved us and to keep us moving forward. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Spiritual death. This is out of Oswald Chambers. The creative power of the redemption of God works in the souls of men only through the preaching of the gospel. It is never the sharing of personal experiences that saves people, but the truth of redemption. And then John, speaking in the Gospel of John, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Talk all you want to somebody, all you want about your experiences. This is what happened to me. Without the Spirit moving on your behalf, empty, dead, nothing will change. So, you know, if you're falling on deaf ears, go back to where you were. Go back to who you are and why you have been regenerated. And pray those prayers for the people that you have in your lives that have not found that redemptive spirit and have not had a spiritual regeneration. So there's a physical death that happens, but we're going to be alive physically again. That death has been conquered. There's a spiritual death that happens, but praise be to God and Jesus and his power that our spiritual death has been conquered too. So we're in great shape, guys. We really are. We're spiritually reborn if this has happened to you. We're physically reborn if this has happened to you. So we can just kind of pack it up, right, and just go home now, watch the Bears get in the Super Bowl, and go to sleep. No, I'm just kidding. The reality is that we are still on earth. Let's look at something else Oswald Chambers brought. The majority of people think of themselves as being completely moral and have no sense of need for the gospel. It is God who creates this sense of need in a human being. But that person remains totally unaware of his need until God makes himself evident. Again, the pressure's off, guys. When you're praying for your loved ones, when you're thinking of that coworker, when you're thinking of a friend, when you're thinking of someone who has not made the transition to life as you have, it is only God and his Spirit that's going to reveal that to them. And those prayers that you have to move God's hand will be heard. And God will reveal himself to those people. When I first got saved, I had a buddy who was with me when it happened. Elba was there. My friend Ed was there. The three of us. And after I got saved, it all happened immediately in my living room. And I ran into the kitchen and I ran up to Elba and I said, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. It happened to me too. She goes, what? You okay? A minute ago, you were out there doing something with, my son's here. I better not tell him what we're doing. And I turned to Ed and I said, Ed, I'm different. I'm a new person. He goes, yeah, we had some good stuff, didn't we? No. I go, no, that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, Ed, watch me flush it down the toilet right now. He goes, no, don't do that. I says, yeah, I'm going to, you want it? He goes, no, I don't want it. Take it. Take it. I don't want it anymore. He goes, well, I want it, but I'm not going to take it on those terms. So we flushed it down the toilet together. And I prayed for Ed. Ed became my, you know, God said, like what Bill was saying, you know, little guy, and I was so faithful. I said, I'm going to keep praying for Ed. Keep praying for Ed. God's going to, and you know what? God met Ed. And God did meet with Ed. So it's true. If you just lay that on God's heart, he will reach those people that you want to be reached. That was a tangent. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So again, the pressure's off. In your natural self, it can't happen anyway. So, you know, don't worry about it. It's all God's power anyway, so might as well, you know, put all your eggs in that basket anyway. So now what? So now what? Okay. We are in a dichotomy. And a dichotomy is you're in like two worlds. There's a tugging of two different ideas, and you're there. If you're saved, you're in a dichotomy. Okay. I'm heavenly bound, spiritually and physically regenerated, but I'm stuck on earth. That's a dichotomy. Because I know where my future is, but I'm stuck here. So what do I do now? Okay, I told you a little bit about it. Well, you know, obviously you witness to your friends, you pray for your family, and you just do what you do every day. But different things will happen to you. And this is where this message hit a brick wall. I shared some of my thoughts with a coworker who's a moody Bible student. And we kind of had a discussion. He's preached at his church a few times. I said, you know what? The next direction I want to go with this sermon is that I want to talk about how there's, in a sense, a third death that happens to us. You know, the spirit, we've conquered the spiritual death. We've conquered the physical death. But there is another death that happens on an ongoing basis. And what are those deaths? It could be a death of a hope, a dream, a loved one, a job, an era. And when I say an era, Cross and Crown, in a sense, had a death of an era. When Pastor Rivera left, Pastor Mayo picked it right up. And then when Pastor Mayo left, in a sense, it was a death of an era of Cross and Crown. So we're kind of in that mode now. Now, I'm not saying the church needs redemption, but there is a redemptive piece to these kind of things happening in your life. And the reason that we kind of hit back and forth, this gentleman and I, was that his feeling was, don't get too much into this life and the redemptive things that are going to happen to you in this life, because then you're preaching the gospel of prosperity and all that. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to go there either, but the reality is we do experience different deaths in our lives. Sometimes it's the real death of a loved one. Sometimes it's the death of an idea, and all these things I talked about. And, you know, Lisa was kind enough not to come today, so I could use her as an example. Because if she was here, she probably would be looking at me, Dad, why are you going there? You know, so if you're taping this, I won't give it to her, okay? But she was the impetus in a lot of ways for this message. Because when Lisa was going through what she was going through, and those of you don't know, she lost her husband to a terrible death, a suicide. When she was going through the darkest, darkest times, my prayer was constantly, redeem her out of this. She needs to be redeemed. But she's saved. She's accepted Christ. She's got that already. But there was that dark period where she needed to be redeemed. And praise be to God, as we speak today, she's been redeemed from so many things. She's been redeemed, and not by our power, not by anything that we've done, other than just crying out to the Lord, and the body being there, you know, supporting her. You know, and this whole thing about not being, trying to do it on our own, there's no way. She was trying to do things on her own. She was going to make it through this time. You can't make it through your time on your own. We need each other. And we need each other who have that redemptive spirit as a context. So we know that they understand what we're going through. They know that we are hurting. We know that we have died. Part of our life has died, whatever it might be. And some of you are going through that right now. Some death in your life. And again, it could be death of anything. It could be a death of a habit. You know, I've been struggling with this. Finally, I put it to death. But I'm sad because I put it to death. You know, and so there's all these things that are very, very common to being human and to being stuck in this dichotomy of, well, but I'm going to heaven and I'm spiritually reborn, but God, I'm stuck in this body. I'm stuck in this place. So you can be redeemed out of that third death. We need to be redeemed from these situations. You know, the same principles will apply for the original redemption that you had, again, if you're saved. And I keep saying that because if you're not, you're going to get an opportunity to think about it. God can revive a situation. God can free from what distresses or harms, which is, again, the definition. We need not stay in the condition we're in. And the house is an analogy that's used biblically many times. Those are two scriptures that talk about it. Build your house on a rock. Peter talks about the house. But the house is a good analogy because this is your house. And it's been redeemed. It's been made over. But a renovated house still needs maintenance. A renovated house still needs upkeep. A renovated house needs new additions, done correctly for long-term benefits. And that's key. You noticed in this illustration of the extreme makeover, that house was brand new. When they walked in there, it was brand new. Interestingly enough, and you didn't see the whole video, the whole house was constructed with recycled materials the new house was recycled materials from their old house, which is, again, a beautiful illustration. God doesn't take, you know, just gives us, I mean, I wish he would have given me a new body right from the get-go. You know, it's like, well, if I'm going to regenerate your body, the nose has got to go, and I can see you're going to be bald in a few years, so you don't need no Propecia. I'll give you some hair. No, he uses the same corrupted body and makes it incorruptible, another scriptural principle. Same thing with this house. But as soon as they walked in, I don't know about you, but I saw those six kids, and I go, man, I'm going to trash that house. How long before, you know, the gondolas are all over the floor or whatever. No, the reality is we have to renovate and upkeep and continue to do that. You know, so it's real. It's real. And then again, this can't be done. It can't be done alone. We need each other to do this. But be careful. Be careful of cosmetic makeovers. In other words, the outside looks good, but the inside is crumbling. You know, and that's where we, in earlier, you know, Carmen, I guess, alluded to that too. You know, we're playing church. Everything's just great. I'm a Christian, ain't I? Everything's great, you know, on the outside. But on the inside, it's crumbling. It's falling apart. It needs a renovation. It needs a makeover. So don't be so proud in who you are to be crumbling and put on the facade of everything's going great. Find that person. Find that brother. Find that sister. Find that accountability piece where you can say, you know, I'm falling apart here, and my makeover is just not working. I need some help here. So that's crucial. So continuing, ongoing upkeep, crucial to the whole idea. And again, that's the dichotomy. But wait a minute, I'm saved. I'm new body, new life. Hey, but you're still here. Still got to deal with it. You know, one thing good about having a PowerPoint presentation is that I don't get off on a lot of tangents. I stay with this thing. So you guys don't mind if I just kind of start to conclude a little bit? And everybody said, amen. And finally, and this is a real finally, our question for today. What are we building our house on? And it's interesting. It's the same scripture I used when I preached on legacy back in November. What are we building our house on? Have we found that redemption in Christ? And if you have, is there anything that needs to be redeemed right now in who you are and what you're going through? But, and we're going to have a chance to respond to this, ultimately, which is like finally, but it's just another word for I'm closing. Ultimately, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So ultimately, it comes full circle. And when we lay our head on the pillow that last time, and we take our next breath in glory land, we will have a new house, and it will be incorruptible, and it will be somewhere where we can say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for not leaving me in that condition on earth, but putting me in a place where I can just love, and I don't know what it's going to be like up there, but I'm sure getting ready for it. So anyway, here's what I want to do to conclude. We have a song that we're going to end with. During that song, you know, feel free to come up at your seat, wherever. Think about two things. Number one, if you have been redeemed and you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and He is your redemptive power, thank Him for that. Thank Him for that in a real sincere way. And if you're going through something that needs redemption, you know, begin the process now of getting the help you need and working on that. There's plenty of people in this body that'll help you with that. But there's the Spirit of God that obviously is going to drive that. So we're going to play a song. Bill's going to come up and conclude after the song. And during that time, you know, reflect on what God hopefully has brought to you today. And I'm going back there to play the drums, so see you later.
Yeah, in case it wasn't clear enough, Gino is opening up the altar for anybody who would like. Allow the Spirit of God to move in your life right now. If there is something that's disturbing you, something that's eating at you, something you're going through where it needs the redemption of God to come in and pull away the darkness, as Gino says, to refabricate the walls of your heart and your life. Something that only God can do. The altars are open. Now is the time. Open up to the Lord.